Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. I know we promised to give away some shot glasses tonight. It's going to have to take place tomorrow night. We just, you know, ran out of time. But we'll give away some shot glasses. Might do it on our pre-show. So if you have a backstage pass, join us at 9:15 Pacific. That's 12:15 Eastern Time. And we'll do a shot glass giveaway. We will definitely give some away on the show proper tomorrow night. But as I said, we ran out of time. I apologize
profusely.
But we will have some shot glasses for you. We have to do the shot glass giveaway, bud, because
summer's coming up.
Summer is coming up. And by the way, you owe me a debt of gratitude because I could have kicked your ass when you let Father McQuarters on for the 15th time, and I didn't.
That's true, man. Well, okay.
Yeah. I told you that if you let him on the air one more time, I'd beat your ass. Instead, I just threw you out of the studio. Didn't I?
That's true. Well, okay, thank you for not beating my ass.
You're welcome. All right. Would you believe this one? This is kind of an interesting thing. There's a peace index, man. Oh, by the way, our website is philhendryshow.com. So get over there, get a backstage pass, and find out what you're missing out on, man. You're missing out on all of those thousands of hours of archived material, downloadable material, bits, and video casts, and, of course, our live video cast each and every night of the show, philhendryshow.com. Want to stay safe? Head to Maine and avoid Louisiana as America's most violent states are revealed. Also, America's most peaceful states are revealed. Violence costs our economy at least $460 billion a year. There's so many ways we could save money in this country, but there are just, either you're up to the task or you're not. Violence, the problem of violence, which is essentially the problem of people. People are violent, there's acceptable violence, and then there is unacceptable.
What do you mean acceptable?
I mean, like, if you were defending your own life or something, you'd have to resort to violence sometimes to defend yourself or someone else. But I'm just saying, the kind of violence we're talking about here is the kind that runs afoul of our laws. And if we were able to do away with that, we would save ourselves $460 billion a year. Well, that's nice to think about and dream about, but you're going to have to come up with something to solve that problem, and we haven't done that yet. Now, we're getting close as we talk about pharmacology and treating people for depression and so on and so forth, but the United States is more peaceful now than at any time over the past 20 years, according to this survey. Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, do you know? Or?
No, I'm asking you guys. Why do you think the United States is more peaceful now? And what we're talking about here is per capita kinds, when we're looking at these violent crimes, we're talking about a per capita ratio, meaning murders per so many numbers of people, rapes per so many, armed robbery and so on and so forth. Why do you think America is more peaceful now than ever before?
I don't know.
I'm just going to take a wild guess, and it is a wild guess. But I really do believe that we understand better today. We understand better what is at the root of some violent activity. But I also think it has to do with the improvement in forensic science.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. No, you weren't. You didn't know what you were going to say.
Well, hold on for a minute. Maybe he was thinking about it.
Yeah, well, then, okay, I was thinking about it, too.
So what? All right, good, bud. You got your brownie points for the night, okay?
What'd you say about his brownie points?
Hey, man, all I said was that I was thinking about it.
So he was thinking about it. What a petty, what a baby.
Yeah, man, I said I was thinking about it.
Shut up. I'm just trying to get in good.
Can you be quiet, man, before I shove this in your mouth and gag you?
Yeah, gag me.
Kick your ass. For real. Now, I think it's because, I'll give an example. Here's an example of what I mean. And this is not it's not very satisfying, but there is something to this DNA science. And the reason why I say that is I've noticed in recent years, police will make arrests in a murder case, and you look at the guy, you look at the guy's MO, you see sort of the person he is, and you realize what they've just done is they have arrested a potential serial killer. This guy probably would have gone off and killed 20 or 30 people had this been 20 or 30 years ago. But because we are now able to, because we are now able to positively tie someone by way of this DNA evidence to a murder or a crime scene, we're able to identify these people, actually identify the real perpetrator through the use of DNA, and you get these people sooner. They busted a guy in New York. I don't know how long ago. It was a year, 2 years ago, man. He'd murdered his roommate. I mean, it was some guy that he'd met in a bar, went up to the guy's room in a hotel. I guess they had sex, and he wound up butchering this guy up like Jack the Ripper. And they nailed this guy. He could have been long gone and off killing 3, 4, 5, 6, 10 more people before the cops ever got a hold of him. And that was the way things went back in the day. So when we say that we're less violent or that we are more peaceful, let's be very clear. The human animal continues to be aberrant in some cases. We're just able to identify some of these people a lot better. So it says here, for those looking for peace, it may be wise to steer clear of Louisiana. When you look at this, there's a map here of the United States, and Louisiana is very clearly the most violent state. All right, why do they say Louisiana is the most violent state? Because Louisiana has a murder rate which at 11.2 per 100,000 people is the highest among each of the 50 states. It has 11 murders per 100,000 people. That's a lot of murders. If you're talking about multiply, what's 11 times 10, bud?
111 or something.
It's about, let's go, it's 110. 11 times 10 is 110. So, and the reason why I said that, that would be a million people. That is 110 murders. If you're looking, say, at the city of New Orleans, and I don't know how many murders New Orleans had in a year, but that sounds about right. And it's probably a hell of a lot higher than that.
Well, you know, that's not what they're saying, though.
No, I know that, but they're saying, they're breaking it down and telling you that's 11.2 murders per 100,000. But if you look at a city like New Orleans, which is somewhere in the neighborhood of Metro, probably 2 million people, but the city proper, that's probably the rate of the murder in the city. I don't know. I'm just, 24/7 Wall Street reported that the rankings were completed based on five categories: violent crime, amount of law enforcement, and the ability to obtain small arms. IEP founder, IEP, whatever that is, Steve Coletta told 24/7 Wall Street, in perfect states, there'd be no crime. Therefore, you'd have no need for police, nor would you lock anyone up. So what does that mean? So the crime and the number of cops?
Yeah, number of cops, in order to use their gun.
Well, Coletta said that because peace is not an exact science, the organization's findings are based on several factors. I don't think there's a single silver bullet which creates peace. I think it's a multidimensional and really complex. So that's so that on that basis, we've pulled out the correlations. Whatever. So Louisiana was the most violent state with all of these. The most peaceful state, Maine. And if you're looking at this chart, I can just tell you just a snapshot of the most peaceful states. Do you want to know what they are?
Yeah.
Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Minnesota, North Dakota, Washington State, and Utah. There.
So that's like way north.
Yes, way north.
Mostly, yeah, you could say it's mostly white people, too.
And, hey, boy, come on, bud.
Well, ain't it?
No, that's not necessarily true, okay? It's sparsely populated states, man.
Yeah, but they're white sparsely populated. Man, as much as listen to what the man's saying, if that was just sparsely populated black people, it'd be the same thing. I doubt it. They'd probably go and do an all-day drive just to kill a guy. Hey!
What is it with you, man? Are you just trying to get your ass kicked tonight? I've been really holding back here.
I'm holding back, too.
Jeez. If you want to look at these states, mostly white people, I'll tell you this much, bud. If you look at all of these states, these are very sparsely populated states. Okay? So if you're anywhere in the United States, any sparsely populated state might very well be a snapshot of America's demographics as in terms of race. So if you want, you could say, well, there's very few people, relatively, and Washington State is the most populous of these states. Washington State has a large city, Seattle. And Minnesota, too, has Minneapolis. But these are states that don't have a very big population. And the populations of black and white people are here in the United States are probably reflective somewhat in these states. Minnesota, North Dakota, Washington.
What black people live in North Dakota? Are you nuts, man? A lot of black folks live in them states. Yeah, but not as many.
Whatever, man. Yeah, not as many. You're right. Not as many white people live there. So Utah and so on. Then in the next states that are, you know, the second tier, if you will, of peaceful states, and I'm eyeballing this, and let me tell you something. This is Phil Henry, my geographic ability in terms of identifying a state, I am the man here. I can tell you what these states are, and there's no title on any of them. But the next tier, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island, those are the remaining New England states. So you could say New England in general. But Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Rhode Island. Then Pennsylvania, West Virginia, Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky, Wisconsin, Iowa, South Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming, Idaho, Montana, Oregon.
Man, that's pretty good.
You name all them states, there wasn't no name on them?
So what? I'm just telling you. Yeah, I did. I identified all of those states, even though there was no name on those states. I just looked at them, the geographic shape. But the point I'm making is those are the next. And you're right, bud. There's, you know, they're further north. These northern states, especially states like Idaho and Montana and Wyoming, are very lightly populated states. The more populous the state. Well, Pennsylvania, though, you know.
Yeah, and I'd blow that one out of the water.
Yep.
A lot of black people there, too, man.
Oh.
Yeah, huh? What do you say to that, bud?
Well, you said it's on account of they're sparsely populated.
Yeah, that's black folks in Pennsylvania, though.
A lot of black people in Ohio, Pennsylvania, Indiana. All right, so there you have it, the most peaceful states in America. And the least peaceful, well, Louisiana is all by itself at the bottom of the list. Texas, Arizona, Nevada, Florida. Some states you just know. Florida, South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Tennessee, Arkansas, Missouri, Oklahoma. Those are the most violent, and then Louisiana, the most violent states in the U.S. of A. We'll be right back. And by the way, Alaska, you guys don't get off too easy. You're on the same level as California in terms of violence, which you probably already knew. World famous Phil Henry Show will be right back here on our News and Information Hour.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It is our News and Information Hour, bud.
Yeah, you got to do the one on a mice ball.
Go on, you can't say that, man.
All right, we'll do it. God, what a child. Testicles of yogurt-eating mice shown bigger, and researchers credit probiotics.
Yeah, so what, man?
Baby, you've been eating a lot of yogurt.
Yeah, if I have, then that, you know, pretty much tells a story about you and me.
I can eat more yogurt, too.
Yeah, that's great, bud. Go out and eat some more yogurt. You are sounding like an idiot tonight, more so than ever before.
Well, it says if you eat more yogurt, you're going to get bigger ones.
So what, man? That's just the size of the tentacle.
What do you mean, tentacle?
Testicles. Would you guys shut up? Last summer, a team of researchers from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology set out to better understand the effects of yogurt on obesity. They were following up on the results of a long-term study from the Harvard School of Public Health that had suggested yogurt, more than any other food, helped to prevent age-related weight gain. Well, the MIT team, led by cancer biologist Susan Erdman and evolutionary geneticist Eric Alm, wanted to replicate the work in mice. The researchers took a group of 40 males and 40 females and either fed the animals a high-fat, low-fiber, low-nutrient diet meant to mimic junk food, or fed them standard mouse meals. They then supplemented half of each diet group with vanilla-flavored yogurt. Their goal was to understand how a probiotic diet affects rates of obesity.
What probiotic?
Probiotic means that there is bacteria in the diet. Now, before you get grossed out, bud, in our intestines, in our digestive tract, is I shouldn't call it bacteria, but it is fauna, if you will, living organisms that help us digest and help us process our food.
What are you talking about?
I just got done telling you. I ain't going to explain it. When you take an antibiotic, what is an antibiotic doing? It is killing off these organisms, especially organisms that are infecting the body. If we take an antibiotic against any kind of an infection, we're killing the bacteria, the living organism that is making us sick. Antibiotic. If we take a probiotic, that means it is something that further fosters these organisms. And these are good ones. So the human body has good and bad. The bad ones, we want to kill off. But what happens with a lot of antibiotics, they kill all the bad ones, and they also kill all the good organisms and fauna in our system.
What do you mean by fauna, man?
Yeah, what, is that like flora and fauna?
Yes, it's like flora and fauna.
So who's she?
I'm going to belt you.
Hey.
Kick your ass, man, next time you ask that.
I don't know. Who's she?
You're an idiot. I'm gonna pull a Christian Bale on you, man. Remember when he was gonna kick that guy's ass?
That was bitching.
Well, we'll see how bitching it is. All right. So anyway, this is called a probiotic diet. Their goal was to understand how a probiotic diet affects rates of obesity and its related complications, including cancer. But the most entertaining aspect of all of this were things we didn't anticipate, said Ms. or Dr. or whatever, biologist Erdman. First, the scientists noticed that the yogurt-eating mice were incredibly shiny. Using both traditional histology techniques and cosmetic rating scales, the researchers showed that these animals had 10 times the active follicle density of other mice, resulting in luxuriantly silky fur. Then the researchers spotted something particular about the males. They projected their testes outward, which endowed them with a certain mouse swagger, Erdman says. On measuring the males, they found that the testicles of the yogurt consumers were about 5% heavier than those of mice fed typical diets alone and around 15% heavier than those of junk-eating males. How about that, huh?
Looks like we're going to get some more yogurt.
You don't know if it's the same in human beings. You don't, man.
Yeah, but every time something happens to a mouse, pretty much the same of a person.
No, it ain't. You talking about maybe cancer research and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, does a mouse look like you? Does a mouse look like a human?
Uh-oh.
Okay. Then why would you think that whatever happens to a mouse is going to happen to a human being? What? Maybe we're going to get bigger ears, too. You thought about that?
Grow a tail. Maybe Robert will grow a tail. But I...
I'm going to kick his ass.
I'm not going to hold him back this time.
Ow, that hurts.
Oh, shut up, man.
Ow.
Shut up, man. I'll really hit you.
Ow.
Ow.
Yeah, he said he was going to hit you.
That hurt.
I told you.
Next time you crack wise about a guy having a tail, bud, make sure you know who it is you're talking to.
That hurt!
Good, I'm glad it hurt. All right. Let him, he's fine.
I'll probably go see how he is.
No, don't go see how he is, baby.
Dude, he hit me, he almost hit me between the legs.
I wish he had.
That's weird.
Shut up, man.
God. All right, so they got bigger testicles. More important, the masculinity pays off. In mating experiments, yogurt-eating males inseminated their partners faster and produced more offspring than control mice. Conversely, females that ate the yogurt diets gave birth to larger litters and weaned those pups with greater success. Reflecting on their unpublished results, Erdman and Alm think that the probiotic microbes in the yogurt help to make the animals leaner and healthier, which indirectly improves sexual machismo. All right, so can you dig that? The findings could have implications for human fertility and ongoing work. Oh, we got to take a break. We'll be right back.
Just really getting to the good part.
Yeah, but just eat more yogurt. You'll be fine. I think. Phil Hendry Show. And as I was saying to the guys here during the break, I don't know why I gotta know these things about people, let alone a celebrity. I don't know why we have to, but we do have to report them, you know.
You don't have to.
I know that I don't have to, but yes, I do have to. Because if I don't report this, somebody else will.
Yeah, but you gotta take the high road.
Yeah, take the high road. What's that song?
You take the high road, I'll take a low road.
Yeah, you take a high road, I'm gonna take a low road.
That's nice.
What?
That's great. So you take the high road, I'm gonna take a low road. So what about it?
Yeah, you never heard the song?
Yeah, I've heard the song.
Well,
see, when you guys start talking and then you don't know where you're going with it, and you're waiting for me.
You're waiting me.
You're waiting for me to bail you out.
Well, what about you take the high road?
I think what you guys are saying is, why don't I take the high moral road and not report these stories? Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Here's why I don't take the high moral road and not to report these stories. It doesn't do you any good. It's not going to win me any friends. It's not going to win me any plaudits. No one's going to kiss my ass. No one's going to pay me more money. No one is going to love me more. They're going to say, gee, there was a story about John Travolta on another radio station. I think I'll go listen to that. Okay?
Well, I mean, you don't want to talk about it.
No, I didn't say I didn't want to talk about it. I said, I wonder, it's so funny why we have to know these things about people. This is very interesting, let alone a celebrity. But here it is. According to a lawsuit, now this is a John Travolta, it's a lawsuit filed by a masseur.
What's that?
Somebody that gives you a massage, okay? I don't know what a masseuse is. Maybe a masseuse is a female version of masseur. John Travolta has been sued by a masseur who claims the actor tried to have sex with him during a session. Now, listen very carefully to some of the details, and you might find some interesting aspects to this. According to the lawsuit, Travolta saw the masseur's ad online and scheduled an appointment for $200 an hour. The masseur did not know it was Travolta when the appointment was booked, but followed instructions and met up with a black Lexus SUV, which Travolta was driving. According to the suit, Travolta and the masseur, who says he saw Trojan condoms in the center console, drove to the Beverly Hills Hotel and went to Travolta's bungalow. The suit claims Travolta stripped naked, appearing semi-erect. The masseur...
What's that mean?
Oh, shut up. The masseur says he told Travolta to lay down on the table, and the first hour went without incident. All right, now, let me ask you something right off the bat.
What?
Travolta strips nude and appears semi-erect. Did this guy have a problem with that?
I guess not.
Well, okay, so I didn't know that this involved sex, but you know, I guess it did. When have you ever had a... I mean, I'll tell you right now, if you have a massage, it is not de rigueur to strip naked. You know, you usually leave a towel on or something. So anyway, but this cat's okay with that. This masseur is fine. Yeah, there's John Travolta. He's nude, and he also looks like he's, you know...
Chubbing it up.
Yeah, take it easy, will you, bud?
Can't say that.
All right. The masseur says he told Travolta to lay on the table. The first hour went without incident, other than the fact that the guy's nude. Then, according to legal documents, Travolta began rubbing the masseur's leg, touched his scrotum and the shaft of his penis. How do you do that unless the guy's nude himself?
Maybe he put his hand in the guy's pants.
Yeah, maybe, and maybe the guy was nude too. I'm going to just assume that he was. The masseur claims he told Travolta... By the way, this story is filled with a lot of graphic information that it would not be filled with were these two women. Why is that? In other words, if I was reading a story about a woman hitting on another woman, I'm not going to be hearing about the shaft of anything or the this or the that or any other specific anatomical information, am I?
Yeah, well, that's rude, man. You can't say that about ladies.
Uh-huh. Anyway, the masseur claims he told Travolta he did not have sex with his clients, but Travolta was undeterred, offering to do a reverse massage, adding, "Come on, dude, I'll blank you blank." I ain't gonna say it. The suit goes on to allege Travolta then blankety blanked and told the masseur he got to where he was due to sexual favors he had performed when he was in his Welcome Back Cotter days. Adding, Hollywood is controlled by homosexual Jewish men who expect favors in return for sexual activity. Now, this guy is sitting there looking at John Travolta nude. John Travolta touched this guy's you-know-what. How? I think the guy was naked himself. Maybe not. But now John Travolta proceeds to self-pleasure, and this dude's watching all of this and having a conversation with him. But, you know, you got to be kidding me. The guy's going to turn around and sue this guy for what? And the fact that he said that Hollywood was controlled by homosexual Jewish men who expect favors in return for sexual activity, maybe he said it, maybe he didn't, maybe he was kidding, maybe he wasn't. But this guy that's filing the lawsuit sounds like a real, I mean, you know, I would not exactly trust this guy parking my car. The masseur, who is only listed as John Doe, don't you love it, man? Claims that Travolta called him a loser, but then doubled the hourly rate and sent him on his way. The suit seeks $2 million plus punitive damages. Travolta's reps could not be reached for comment.
What, you don't believe it?
No, I don't believe it. There's too much stuff going on here. What's this guy? He's suing because Travolta put his hands on him, but the guy's nude. Travolta's nude. The guy's giving Travolta a massage when Travolta strips naked and gets on the table. Then Travolta masturbates in front of this guy. And then Travolta's talking this, talking that, and talking a whole bunch of other stuff. Now, what's this guy doing in the room? If this cat has acted inappropriately, wouldn't you say to the guy, if nothing else, okay, pal, end of story, goodbye, see you later, all done. And by the way, you know what? I'm a masseuse, and that doesn't necessarily mean you strip naked. And like that. And you touched me, so get out of here.
Yeah, but you can't say it just because of that. The guy's lying. Maybe he's telling, maybe he was in shock.
Yeah, maybe he was so shocked about what Travolta was doing, he was like caught like a deer on a headlight.
He was a deer on a headlight, huh? You mean deer caught in the headlights?
Yeah.
Sure, man, that's what it was. The guy was just, oh my goodness, John Travolta's naked. He's also semi-erect, and I'll go ahead and give him a massage, but I'm still in shock. And, oh yeah, by the way, I took my pants off, and he just touched me, and I'm still in shock. But I'll go ahead and watch him while he masturbates. And let's see, what else? Oh yeah, the guy mentioned a whole bunch of stuff about Hollywood, Jews, Welcome Back, Cotter, and I'm just shocked. I'm shocked all the way to getting my rate doubled. Which he accepted the money, and on his way he goes. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't believe it, but then that's just me, man.
You're sticking up for a movie star.
No, man, I ain't sticking up for movies. I'm tired of being treated like I'm stupid by these people, that's all. I'm tired of being treated like I'm stupid. And the same thing goes for the average person out there. Listen to these stories. You are considered to be an idiot when a TMZ or whoever reports this, you're expected to automatically assume that John Travolta is a douchebag. You know, you're expected to automatically get shocked and upset and pissed off that John Travolta is a Scientologist. Yeah, he may be a Scientologist, whatever, you know. But if you listen to a little bit of the facts of that story, you realize it's very likely that this is just some scumbag looking for a payday, that's all. Travolta may be a weird ass. I don't know, and I don't care. But does that mean, people get to be lied about? I don't know.
Probably he's eating a lot of yogurt.
Yeah, that's it. He was eating yogurt. His testicle got in the way.
The one testicle.
Yeah, that's it. He was eating a lot of yogurt and his testicles got in the way. Who? The masseuse?
Yeah, whoever the guy was that got touched.
Maybe it was sticking out or something like them mice.
Like them mice. All right, and the CIA has thwarted a new Al-Qaeda underwear bomb plot, and they were being kind of sarcastic with this. I think that, you know, let's give them kudos. They thwarted an underwear bomb plot. The CIA thwarted a plot by Al-Qaeda's affiliate in Yemen to destroy a U.S.-bound airliner using a bomb with a new design, a U.S. counterterrorism official tells CBS News. Officials, however, deny there was ever any immediate threat to the public. U.S. officials told CBS News the plot involved an upgrade of the underwear bomb that failed to detonate aboard a jetliner over Detroit on Christmas 2009. Now I know why it was that I was completely not, I wasn't really aware of the Detroit bomb, and I know the story, but I was just completely out of it, because that's when I had pneumonia. Every news story that happened during that particular period, it was just, I was a complete in a fog over, man. But this was Christmas of 2009 when they thwarted that one. The new bomb was also built to be used in a passenger's underwear, but contained a more refined detonation system, so it wouldn't be triggered by a fart, you know.
Really?
No, not really. I don't know.
What an idiot, man.
Well, you figure it could be triggered by that.
Sure. And if that were the case, you know, then I wouldn't call it a very safe bomb. Of course, what bomb is supposed to be safe? Anyway, the device recovered has the hallmarks of a previous device used by Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. That's Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula. That's the name of the organization, like the NBA or the NHL or...
Girl Scouts.
Including it was made by the same explosive, or made of the same explosive material, PETN. The bomb was designed to avoid detection at metal detectors. A law enforcement source told CBS News that indications are that it would not have been picked up under normal X-ray machines, but possibly body scanning machines, which would have warranted a more intrusive search, but it could be dependent on an alert. In any event, the body scanning machine would have picked it up, but then an alert TSA agent would have had to have gone in and done a more thorough search, and that is the big X factor, according to this. So, still in all, they may not have picked it up. So, thank you, CIA. You did a great job. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with more in our news and information hour. See what other weird stories, man. I don't want to talk anymore about dogs Skyping their owners. And we already got the underwear bomb plot. Oh, more on the John Edwards case. Witness says he took Riel Hunter to an airport in the dead of night. We'll talk about that when we come back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Summer is upon us, in a couple of months, and it doesn't mean that you'll have any less use for your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. As a matter of fact, if you are a coastline dweller, like some of us are, you go out to the beach at night, it gets pretty, you know, chilly, so you need your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie when you're out, even around a bonfire at night on the beach. And of course, if you live in near the mountains, or you're living near the off-roading trails, or whatever it is you're doing, it can get chilly at night, even in the summer months, no matter where you are, even in Florida. So get your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. It's a great thing to have for those nights when you're doing the marshmallows or something, or you're outside at night and you still want to kind of stay warm, you know.
Yeah, I thought it gets butt cold on the beach.
It gets really cold on the beach, even in the summertime. And it doesn't matter where you are. You could be in Hawaii, you could be in Florida, you can be, you know, anywhere in the really warm southern states, man. At night, it's going to get chilly. So pick up your Ted's of Beverly Hills hoodie. All right. Riel Hunter, man. I don't know about anybody else, man. I think this John Edwards thing is the most interesting thing in the history of the world, man.
It makes one of you.
Well, that's fine, man. You know what? I just think it is.
Yeah, but why, man? You like seeing people suffer.
No, I don't like seeing people suffer. I think the John Edwards story is one of the most classic tales of a once great man being brought low And there's a lesson in it for everybody. Look at a family, how a family can come apart. How a marriage can come apart. How a man's career can come apart. A guy who is still relatively vital. He's still in his youth. He was in his 50s. Running for president. Now this guy won't be able to run for anything, man. And the humiliation. John Edwards, you know, as soon as this thing hit the tabloids, was on his way to, I believe it was, he was on his way to Haiti to deal with the earthquake. And he wanted the blessings, the public blessing of the White House. He wanted President Obama to acknowledge his visit to Haiti. He wanted to get some kind of semi-official status as an ambassador of sorts from the United States, and he wanted the blessings of President Obama. Obama wouldn't even return his phone call.
Yeah, but Edwards is an idiot for doing it in the first place.
I agree. Edwards, well, and there you go. How Edwards could even consider asking for Obama's blessing after that. And so, yeah, I think there's something in it for everyone. I think it's a fascinating, fascinating story. It was some of the most damaging testimony to date in the campaign finance corruption trial of former Senator John Edwards. The day began with the jury hearing jaw-dropping testimony about Edwards' most prolific contributor, a 101-year-old Rachel Bunny Mellon, and ended with another former supporter declaring that the more he learned about the senator's scandal, the more he was openly rooting against Mr. Edwards. The day's first witness, attorney Alexander Darrow Forger. That's a great name.
But it's Forger.
That's even worse.
Yeah, we'll call him Forger. Had to admit that when you added up all his billionaire clients' donations to John Edwards and Edwards' nonprofit groups, the total was over $7 million. $7,109,600, to be precise. The money was given by Bunny Mellon between January 2006 and December 2007. The elderly Forger, who explained he's been practicing white glove law in New York for more than 60 years, whatever that is.
What is that?
I don't know. White glove law. I mean, maybe that's you just handle billionaires or something, you know?
Well, you gotta wear white glove?
No, you're not wearing white gloves.
Like Mickey Mouse.
No, you ain't with Mickey Mouse. I don't think so. No, it's real refined clients. Very high-rolling class. This lady, the Mellon money, goes back over 100 years in America, okay? So this is some old American money.
That's an old American.
Yes, she's an old American. All right. Who explained he's been practicing white glove law in New York for more than 60 years, is a statuesque and a distinguished man with a commanding baritone and decidedly upper-class diction. He insisted to the jury that the widow of billionaire Paul Mellon did not donate all that money solely to ensure Edwards was elected president. Rather, he said she gave it because she took a liking to Senator Edwards. They shared an interest in similar issues like combating poverty, and she had a loyalty to her friends. Said prosecutor Robert Higdon, referring to the sum that went to two outside campaign entities set up to promote his campaign for president, "Did you know her to ever give $6.3 million to another friend?" "No," Forger answered, "but she's given substantial amounts to others. This is not the first time."
Yeah, how do you think he was talking?
No, she's, I don't know, one of those really snobby New England voices. At the morning break, a smiling John Edwards turned away from the defense table and whispered to his daughter Kate, sitting behind him, "It's a good morning for the home team." Whatever, man. But Tony Willis, age 50, the head librarian at the famous Mellon Library in Upperville, Virginia, boy, there's a great name, contradicted Forger's testimony. He told the court he interacted with Ms. Mellon nearly every day and that she was all about getting John Edwards to the White House. "She just thought he was the pick to be the next president of the United States," Willis said with a smile. "She was going to pay for whatever he needed." Why, she even wanted to pay for...
Don't say it.
Right. Willis said he filed away a letter Edwards sent to Mrs. Mellon just 2 weeks after that very first meeting at her spectacular Oak Springs Farm property in December 2005. "Dear Bunny, I can't tell you how much enjoyed the night we spent together." Don't grab it. I'm kidding, okay?
You're kidding?
Yes, don't grab it. I was about to say I was kidding. I'm just kidding around. The senator wrote thanking her for her hospitality, okay?
She spent the night with her?
I was kidding. The senator wrote thanking her for her hospitality, then asked for two separate $500,000 donations for his Center for Promise and Opportunity and his College for Everyone organizations. What is this guy kidding?
Man, that guy, he's got all kinds of money.
Is that what they call about, like, laundering money?
Maybe, yeah, you could be laundering money that way, you bet. Wow. The jury was allowed to read that letter, but was not allowed to hear testimony about Edwards' attempt to get $3 million more from his benefactor. Oh, boy, you hit the jackpot there with Bunny Mellon there, Senator. All right, we'll be back. I'm sure there'll be more to come. Read up on it, follow up on it, whatever. World-famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. Join us online at philhenryshow.com as you... shoot for that backstage pass. You get a backstage pass. You have access, of course, to all of our online archives as well as our nightly Phil TV video cast. Until tonight, guys, as we start another week, let that be a lesson to you.
And you.
Phil Henry.